What's up, y'all? Summer's got a different tempo. Everything's a little looser, brighter. One plan turns into another. You hear something, you stay a little longer. Next thing you know, you're somewhere you didn't plan to be. It's those in-between moments. That's where the ideas hit. Conversations stretch out, little memories sneak up on you. And sometimes, it's just about what's in your hand. That color, that chill. The new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks. Guava and passion fruit flavors with mango pineapple flavored pearls. Yeah, that feels like summer before you even taste it. Funny how one small stop becomes the best part of the day. Start your summer rhythm with Starbucks. Try the new Tropical Butterfly Refresher from Starbucks.
During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27, while supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Boto Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made, because that's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino's the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Midnight has passed, and in the stillness of these hours, the hauntings are never silent. This is Real Ghost Stories Online, After Midnight.
There are some fears that feel manageable, the kind you can face head-on, name, and eventually overcome. And then there are others that don't feel like fear at all, at least not at first. They feel like something unfinished. Something unresolved that keeps resurfacing no matter how far you move or how hard you try to leave it behind. She had always considered herself brave in the ways that mattered. She handled stress well. She pushed through difficulty. She faced everyday challenges without hesitation. But there was one thing in her life that refused to be confronted directly. Not because she lacked courage, but because she didn't know where to begin. Looking back, it started when she was 8 years old, and her bedroom at the time didn't have closet doors. Instead, a sheer white curtain hung from a rod, barely disguising the dark space behind it. At night, when the lights were off, the fabric took on a strange quality, translucent enough to suggest shapes, opaque enough to conceal them. One night, she dreamed that a man emerged from behind that curtain. He wasn't rushing, he wasn't threatening. He simply stepped forward, crossed the room, and stopped beside her bed. He stood there silently, staring at her. She didn't scream. She didn't move. She didn't speak. In the dream, she felt pinned in place by something heavier than fear, a certainty that she shouldn't draw attention to herself. Eventually, fear did take over, and she jolted awake. Her heart was racing. Her room was dark. For a moment, she stayed perfectly still, listening, reminding herself that it had only been a nightmare. Slowly, she forced herself to look around the room, scanning corners, furniture, shadows. Everything looked normal. Then she glanced toward the closet. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw something retreat back behind the white curtain. She was 8 years old, and she was terrified. But even then, she tried to reason with herself. Nightmares bleed into waking moments. Your eyes play tricks on you. Fear fills in gaps. She convinced herself that what she'd seen was nothing more than the afterimage of the dream clinging too tightly to reality. So she dismissed it. For a while, that worked. Years passed, and the experiences followed her quietly from place to place. When she was 13, her family moved out of that house, and she felt immediate relief. By then, she was convinced the problem had been the house itself. Some houses hold on to things. Some houses don't let go easily. Leaving felt like escaping something she didn't want to name. And they moved in with her mother's boyfriend, At first, everything was peaceful. The house felt settled, quiet, safe. For the first time in a long time, she slept without that low-grade tension humming beneath her thoughts. Then the sounds began. At night, she would hear footsteps in the hallway, slow, deliberate, heavy. They sounded like someone wearing sturdy boots, the kind her mother's boyfriend wore every day. The sound made sense. It fit the environment. She didn't question it until the day she was home alone. She was sitting in her room listening to music when she heard a bedroom door slam shut somewhere in the house. Immediately after, she heard the boots again, walking down the hall at an unhurried pace. Her stomach dropped. She took off her headphones and listened, her pulse quickening. The house was empty. Everyone had gone to the store. She knew that. She'd watched them leave. For a moment, she wondered if she'd imagined it. Stress does strange things. The mind fills silence with familiar sounds. That had to be it. It had to be. A few months later, they moved again, just a short drive away, into a small, cozy townhouse. She tried to put everything behind her. New place, new start, no reason to bring old fears along. She finally began to relax. Then one night, her mother and her boyfriend went out on a date. She went upstairs around 9, climbed into bed, and tried to sleep. Her bed sat diagonally in the corner of her room, positioned so that if the door was cracked open just enough, she could see part of her mother's bedroom across the hall. As she lay there drifting towards sleep, she heard a loud noise downstairs. It startled her, but only briefly. She assumed they had returned earlier than expected. She closed her eyes again. When she opened them, she saw a full, solid shadow of a man step out of her mother's bedroom and walk past her doorway. It didn't rush. It didn't hesitate as it walked. The height matched. The build matched. Everything about it suggested her mother's boyfriend. Comforted by the familiarity, she watched the figure pass by again a few minutes later and disappear back into the room. She fell asleep. The next morning, she casually asked her mother what time they'd gotten home. Her answer drained the warmth from the room. "About 12:30, her mom said. "I was going to say goodnight, but you were already asleep." She didn't say anything after that, but she couldn't stop thinking about what she'd seen. After that morning, she stopped trusting what she saw at night, not in a dramatic way. She didn't panic or confront anyone. She didn't announce what she'd seen. She simply filed it away, the way you do with something that doesn't fit anywhere else. She told herself there had to be a rational explanation, a trick of light, a moment of half-sleep, anything but the alternative. She stayed in that townhouse until she graduated high school. Over time, the activity settled into a pattern. Why not escalating, not retreating, just existing? It became part of the background noise of her life, like living near a train track or under a flight path. At first, every sound set her on edge. Eventually, she learned which ones to ignore and which ones meant she should sit still and wait. There were nights when someone seemed to run down the hallway upstairs fast and heavy, only to stop abruptly and slam a door. The sound was sharp enough to rattle pictures on the wall. When she checked, there was never anyone there. Doors stood open or closed exactly as they had been before. Lights flicked on and off without explanation. Sometimes it was a single lamp. Other times it was multiple switches, as if someone were moving through the house, flipping them deliberately. Doors slammed, scratching echoed from inside walls. Small objects shifted places and keys that weren't where she'd left them. Items knocked just far enough to be noticed. And always there was the feeling, the certainty of being watched. It didn't matter where she was in the house. The sensation followed her from room to room, an invisible weight that settled between her shoulder blades. She would pause mid-step, suddenly aware of herself in a way that made her skin prickle. Turning around never revealed anything, but the feeling didn't fade when she looked away. She asked her family if they'd noticed anything strange. No one had. Her mother shrugged it off. Her mother's boyfriend laughed. No one else heard the running footsteps or the doors slamming. When no one was upstairs, no one else felt watched in empty rooms. The longer it went on, the more convinced she became that she simply had terrible luck with houses. Some people grow up in homes that creak and groan. Some people grow up in homes that don't. She assumed she was in the first group. After graduation, she moved again, this time to Raleigh, to live with her aunt's husband, and their 3-year-old son, Isaac. She'd only been there a couple of weeks, but she was excited. New city, new job, new environment. She worked as a nanny for Isaac and enjoyed the routine of caring for him during the day. At first, everything felt fine. Then the sounds returned. This time, it wasn't footsteps at first. It was the sound of things being dropped in other rooms. A sharp thud from down the hall. A bang from the kitchen when no one else was home. She'd pause, listening, waiting for something else to follow. Usually nothing did. She told herself she was imagining it. One afternoon, while sitting downstairs watching television, she heard a loud bang come from the far side of the house. She didn't jump. She didn't panic. By then, she was used to unexplained noises. Then she heard the boots, heavy, deliberate footsteps crossing the kitchen floor. The sound moved slowly, stopping just outside the living room where she sat. She stared straight ahead, heart pounding, her body rigid. No one stepped into the room. The footsteps stopped. She didn't move for a long time, but it was what happened a few days later that changed everything. She had put Isaac down for his nap and gone downstairs to do some housework. The house was quiet, calm. She walked into the kitchen and opened the refrigerator door. The bottle of wine flew out, not slid, not tipped. It launched forward, striking her shin and foot before hitting the floor. The impact hurt enough to make her gasp. The bottle didn't break, but the bruise bloomed quickly, dark and painful. She stared at it, frozen. And that bottle had been in the fridge since they moved in. No one had touched it. No one had bumped the door. Nothing else in the refrigerator shifted or fell. For the first time, whatever this was had crossed a line. It wasn't just noise anymore. It had hurt her. She sat on the kitchen floor for a moment, her shin throbbing, her thoughts racing. All the places she'd lived. All the times she'd told herself it was the house. All the times she'd been alone when it happened. A truth she'd been avoiding finally took shape. Maybe it wasn't the houses. Maybe it was her. The idea scared her more than anything she'd experienced before. Not because it implied something was attached to her, but because it meant she couldn't leave it behind. Moving wouldn't help. Starting over wouldn't help. Wherever she went, this thing seemed to arrive too. She didn't want to test it. She didn't want to provoke anything. She'd heard too many stories about people who tried to communicate, to challenge, to demand answers, and ended up making things worse. So she did what she'd always done. She lived with it. But now she was asking herself questions she'd never let surface before. What if this wasn't coincidence? What if this wasn't bad luck? What if the thing she'd dismissed as fear had been following a pattern all along? After the bottle struck her leg, she stopped looking for patterns in the houses themselves. Floor plans no longer mattered. Age didn't matter. Whether a place was old or newly built made no difference. The same things happened in different spaces, under different circumstances, across different stages of her life. And that realization followed her more closely than any sound ever had. She didn't tell her aunt what happened in the kitchen. She didn't mention the bruise or the bottle or the footsteps that had stopped just outside the living room. There was no benefit in saying it out loud. She'd learned that long ago. Most people either dismissed stories like that outright or tried to rationalize them into something unrecognizable. Neither response helped, and instead she watched. She paid attention to how often the house felt occupied when she was alone, to the way certain rooms felt heavier than others at random times, to how the sounds always resembled familiar things, boots instead of footsteps, dropped objects instead of thrown ones, shadows shaped like people she already knew. Nothing about it felt theatrical. That somehow made it worse. She tried to remember if there had ever been a clear beginning. Something she could point to and say that's when it started. The nightmare when she was 8 came closest, but even that felt incomplete. The shadow in the closet had appeared without warning and retreated just as quietly. It hadn't threatened her. It hadn't spoken. It had simply watched. So much of what followed carried that same quality. Observation. She wondered if the reason it frightened her so deeply wasn't because it felt malicious. but because it felt deliberate, like something paying attention without revealing its intent, like something learning her routines, her reactions, her tolerance. She considered reaching out for help, not paranormal investigators or mediums, and she didn't trust that path. Too many stories ended badly. Too many people who went looking for answers found something they couldn't shut out afterward. She thought about therapists, doctors, anyone who could help her untangle fear from reality. But every time she pictured explaining it, the words fell apart. How do you describe a lifetime of small things, of sounds that mimic people who shouldn't be there, of shapes that never fully resolve, of a feeling that follows you quietly from place to place without ever announcing itself? You don't. You learn to live around it. She focused on control instead, not over whatever was happening, but over herself. She grounded herself in routine. She stayed busy. She filled silence with music or television when she needed to. She slept with lights on, if that helped. She refused to acknowledge sounds unless they demanded it. For the most part, it worked. The house in Raleigh remained mostly quiet after that. No more bottles flew, no doors slammed, no footsteps crossed the kitchen floor at night. The activity didn't escalate the way she feared it might. But it didn't disappear either. Sometimes, late at night, when the house settled and the day finally loosened its grip, she felt the familiar sensation return. That awareness at the back of her neck, the sense that she was not alone in the way people usually mean it. She didn't panic, she breathed through it. She reminded herself that fear fed nothing but her own anxiety, that reacting only gave it weight. Whatever this was, it didn't respond to confrontation or curiosity, only attention. An attention, she learned, was something she could withhold. She still doesn't know if something attached itself to her years ago or if she's simply more perceptive than most. She doesn't know whether what she experienced was external, internal, or somewhere uncomfortably in between. What she does know is that the question changed her. Once you consider the possibility that the problem isn't the place, you can never fully return to blaming walls and floors and wiring. Once you accept that something may be connected to you, the world feels subtly different, more personal, more watchful. She doesn't go looking for answers anymore, and she doesn't provoke. She doesn't ask questions she isn't prepared to live with. If there is something there, it exists at the edge of her awareness now, quieter, less intrusive, but never entirely absent. And maybe that's all it ever wanted. Not to dominate her life, not to terrify her endlessly, just to be acknowledged. She doesn't offer it that satisfaction. She lives her life anyway. And that, she's learned, might be the only kind of victory that matters.
Want more real ghost stories? Then press subscribe now so you don't miss any of the multiple new ghost stories we drop for you every day. Only here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. America's social casino. Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.